As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Now, every Tuesday, we, rain, snow, shine, or otherwise, head on down to City Hall, the Showers Plaza, knock on the door of the mayor's office, and there's our great friend, Mayor John Hamilton. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mike. It's good to be with you. I'm well. Thank you.
Well, that sounds like pool weather I gave for the weekend. I'm sorry about Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I know the city is jumping, as we've been talking about. If you walk down the street, you can see the colors of multiple colleges and track teams and everybody else in town for the NCAA track and field regionals. The buses are everywhere. And, well, I'm glad they got here today or yesterday because these 2 days were perfect. But, boy, the next three are a little dodgy. The weekend's nice, and you got enough lifeguards for me? Can you blow that whistle and get things started?
We're ready to roll. We're ready to dive on Saturday at 11 o'clock a.m. Both Mills Pool and Bryant Park Pool will be open. So we're excited about that.
Unofficial official starts of summer. We have a few of them in town. The one is the first Saturday in May when Indiana University graduates, so that's our first marker. And then we have the Memorial Day weekend when the kids are out of school and the pool is open, so that's number two. So we've got a lot of pre-summer going on before we get it going on, but it'll just be nice to get out there, and the weather's going to be great. The pools are heated. That's another thing for everyone to remember. So if you think, well, this is – no, you'll be fine. You'll be fine, and you just walk in, pay, and away you go. It's that easy, right?
It's been a challenging couple years, but we hope this summer will be nice and steady, and a kind of a reminder of how fun it is just to go to the pool and the park and hang out. And you can get season passes if you know you're ready to go a bunch, or you can just take it a day at a time.
And it's season passes always the better. The better deal. You know why? Because the days you want to go, guess what the line is? Long. And then you have your pass, walk right by, and you're ready to go. Now, the pool's not for everyone, Mayor Hamilton. We know that. But the City of Bloomington's Parks and Recs Department has had some unbelievable upgrades that have just – are they open yet? Getting ready to open? We've got Cascades lower. We've got some things going on at Griffey Lake as well. Tell us what I need to know.
Yeah, you know, we have almost three dozen parks, so there's always a lot of great things going on, and people often know their local park. But two of our bigger, and one of our oldest, the oldest, is the Lower Cascades Park, and that has that beautiful valley and the waterfall, which many people enjoy, has been upgraded and smoothed and made handicap accessible. So it's really worth checking out Lower Cascades again if you want to take a weekend. And you know what happens after rain? It's waterfalls look good. So
absolutely,
it could be a good time to look at a waterfall on Lower Cascades. So that's a really neat upgrade folks can check out. And then another, of course, one of our biggest parks and areas is Griffey Lake up on the northeast side. And there's a new fishing pier, and the roadways are getting reopened. And it might be fun to check out what that's like on the causeway there, because it's some new connectivity. The trails are getting developed. And this summer you'll be able to, we have the dam crossing to work out, but the circumnavigate the whole lake. But there's going to be some new access, new hiking, some great opportunities out of Griffey too.
And if not, you can just wait till fall and see all the magical colors change. So there's never a bad time to get out there and enjoy everything. What do you? And again, I'm not a structural engineer. I don't play one on the radio. What are we doing at the dam? How are we going to navigate that?
Well, we're going to put a trail across it. We've been working with City Bloomington Utilities, owns the dam. They control that from the old days of when that was a reservoir. But we want to create official access. Let me just put it that way. We want to create legitimate official access across that dam, which will be a trail. And once we do that, you can do a full circumnavigation around the lake, which will be kind of a cool outing for some of us.
Absolutely. And we'll hope that gets done, fingers crossed, by the end of summer. Is that the game plan there?
We're figuring out the funding for that. We're ready to do it, and I hope we can let people enjoy that. But even without that, there's wonderful hiking out there, and check out the new pier and dock for fishing, and new access to some of the trails on both the north and south side of the lake.
Exciting times, and this afternoon would be a good idea to do that, or you might have wait. You might have to wait until Saturday because that forecast just wasn't the forecast that we'd love to have. But if we have to trade weekdays for weekends, I don't think we'll get too many arguments that the Memorial Day weekend, you want that one dry. We can handle a couple of days here during the week. Now, we've been talking, you and I, for a while about fiber networks and what is that near? Is it brewing? Is I go away for a little bit and whammo, there you go. Meridiam and the city announced last week that this is getting closer and closer. $50 million citywide fiber to the home network.
So this is something, Mike, you're right, I've been working on this for years, actually, and we're very excited to have this partnership announced, and the company that does a lot of infrastructure work around the world is really launching a U.S. program here in Bloomington. To what they do is they build the whole city, and that's different from what people often do, which is pick out a neighborhood that they think is ripe for fiber, and they're going to build optical, you know, high-speed fiber all across the city to every neighborhood. That's really exciting, and it's going to create gigabit speed fiber all through the city. The second thing that they do is their design is to operate it like a utility. And what that means, the best analogy I have is instead of building it like a private road to your house, where if FedEx had to build a road to each house it went to, or UPS had to have its own road, they all share a utility, a road. They all come to your house on the same road, and that's the design of this fiber network, too, is that any internet service provider can use it to come to your house. So over the years ahead, there will be an initial internet service provider who will be announced soon that will offer services, but after an introductory period for them, that network will open up for anybody to use it. Smithville or Comcast or Verizon or anybody can use that to reach your home, and that's a really important difference from what we have now. And the last thing I'll say, I don't want to talk too long about it. I know you just asked me one question, but this is a very important digital equity investment too. One of the challenges for our community is people who can't afford really good access, even if it were available physically. And this program is going to be what someone has actually called the best digital equity program in the country, and it will offer 250 megabit speed up and down. So that's faster than most of us can get right now anywhere, and it will offer it at $30 a month. And there's a federal program that will pay the $30 a month. So many of our kids on free and reduced lunch, families that have real income issues, will be able to get this digital connectivity that can just make such a difference to a senior needing health care, to an adult needing education, to a kid needing ways to do their homework. So we're very excited about it, and we hope to see building begin on this yet this year, fourth quarter.
And this would be the infrastructure of the internet, correct? Is that what we're doing? We're putting down the tracks for the train?
This would be the fiber infrastructure that will let an internet service provider provide you gigabit speed, super high speed internet connectivity. That's right. It's not going to be television. It's cable television. It's just high speed internet connection, which more and more people are finding is what they really need most. And we know with all the stay-at-home workers, with all the health care issues for home health care and education, other issues, it's really like the electricity for the 21st century. We need to have this. I'm really excited that we have this partnership with Meridiam.
And all right, so fourth quarter this year, we hope to get things going on. What is the time frame to get shovel? You put shovels in the ground? How does this work? How long will it take to get everybody connected?
It's about a 2 to 3 year total build of the city to get every premise passed, if you will, and the opportunity to sign up. So we hope that starts this fall, this winter, and then we'll continue on, and we'll have the maps to show where they're coming. But this is a really important step forward for us. And by the way, Meridiam came to us, and they said they wanted to do it here, but they said, you know, we really, our basic investments, we like to make a little bigger than Bloomington will be, so it's actually going to go to Columbus and to Martinsville and to Shelbyville as well in turn. So we're really pleased that it's kind of helping build regional strength as well.
Yeah, and we're the regional anchor. That's how it should be. Absolutely. Absolutely right. So very exciting with that. And then you talk about for the city, the immediate downtown border to border, just for people who are listening to this, trying to visualize where it's going to stretch to, what is the definition or what is Meridiam going to build to?
Yeah, they're going to build out the whole city, so all 85,000 people and 25,000-30,000 premises will be covered. There may be a few areas that it's just physically difficult to get to. It'll combine underground wire with wires on poles, electric, you know, next to the electric wires, just right, like we see today. They will then consider and probably step toward building into some of the to-be-annexed areas next, but that'll be 2 or 3 years down the road, I think.
And this is a dumb question because, again, engineering is not, that's not where I'm, well, I don't have many strong suits, but that's definitely not one of them. I already have internet service. What do I need this for?
Yeah, this is really, if you have internet service, this will provide gigabit speed internet service. So that's a 1,000 megabit up and down, symmetrical. So that's gives you a lot of bandwidth. The big thing from my perspective as a city is it's going to create, as I said, kind of this road network, this digital network that will be serving the whole city. One of the problems with the current system is some neighborhoods get good service and they kind of get cherry-picked because they have people who will sign up for the service, but some other neighborhoods get left behind. And once that happens, it's harder to catch them all up. So this is really, it's like building, either like thinking about building the whole street network for everybody, or you could think about building the whole electric grid for everybody. We're trying to make sure nobody gets left behind, and that it's designed as infrastructure that other people can use. So to really promote competition through the years ahead, so that if you don't like your internet service provider, you know what? You don't have to have a new line built to your house. You just have to flip a switch, and you can go from one provider to another if they're not providing you good service.
And hopefully that will reduce your cost on top of all of that. Capitalism can work in wonderful, wonderful ways. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He joins us every Tuesday just after 4:05. And speaking of roadmaps and road work, 3rd Street and College Mall, I have not been out there yet. Did that get started yesterday, or are we still waiting on that? I'm not sure.
Well, we have a lot of construction that's going to kick off.
It is a season,
right? I
don't
know if it exactly started. It is the season. One thing I'll encourage people, if you want to sign up every Thursday, we put out an update on infrastructure activity that week. And I know that includes, it's going to be a busy month. We've got a greenway starting on 7th Street. There's a Tap Road and Deborah Drive traffic signal. There's North Walnut Street work. People have seen that, and you're right. This is a state project, the 3rd
right.
Street and College
Mall. But they
Mall
have to have your permission, don't they?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, this is a time of the year to do it, buddy, right? You can't do this in the middle of the semester, in the fall or the spring. So we've got to give to get a little bit. And I know people don't understand that, but the asphalt plants have to open. All these boxes have to be checked. It's just not as easy as putting your order in and picking it up at the counter.
Yep. And, just be patient. We try to do it all between graduation and the first football weekend and do as much as we can during that summer.
Unless you can find a way to add hours and sunlight to the days, that's just how sometimes this has to be done. Mayor Hamilton does join us every Tuesday, and the Bloomington Police Department is going to be hiring folks, and you have retention incentives going along with that. Tell me the scope of what you're looking to staff fully, and how are you going to keep these folks in town?
Well, you know, we talk about the police fair amount. That's a big part of what city government does, is protect public safety with the fire and police. And it's certainly true over the last several years that recruiting and retaining police officers has gotten more difficult. So as we've talked about before, last year in the budget we added some incentives to increase pay and other things. So we did announce this week we've got some other incentives that are being put in place to try to make sure we can retain the police that we have and hire new ones. We're down almost 20 officers from the slots that we have, so we're trying to make sure we're doing signing bonuses for those who are certified officers and for new applicants. We're doing housing assistance. We're increasing the housing assistance that we've had that helps. If we can help an officer live in the city, we'll pay up to $750 a month in rent. We'll also help officers buy homes in the city, up to $18,000 one-time down payment assistance. We're letting them take home patrol cars. And really, all of this is part of trying to make sure we attract and retain the high-quality police officers that we have in Bloomington that we want to keep having. Interestingly, at the same time, we had a report come out from our Future of Policing Task Force. This is a community-based group of folks who are sitting around and talking and educating themselves about policing and its future, and they've been recommending some of these things, some of these retention efforts, and also greater community engagement, and that's beginning also, we announced, with a community neighborhood roll calls that we're going to be doing some of that'll be interesting for folks.
A community roll call? Is that what? Tell me more.
Yeah. So some of us watch television. You know what a roll call is at the beginning of a police shift is when the officers who are going to start their shift sit down and they hear from the sergeant, what's the news of the day, what to look out for, what to be careful, what to seek. And we're gonna try doing some of those roll calls literally out in the neighborhoods. We have a mobile police vehicle that is kind of a police headquarters that will take out there and show up at a public park or show up in a parking lot and just kind of be more visible. And we'll try to encourage people to check it out and come talk to the police officers as they start their shift or check out that vehicle. And it's a way for police officers to get together in a neighborhood, be visible. So we're going to try that out. It's something we haven't done before in the neighborhoods, and again, it's one of the recommendations of how to keep integrating. I swear police officers in, when they take the oath of office, it's a somber but also a celebratory moment for police and their families, and one of the things I say is the more you as an officer know about our community, the better. And the more our community knows about you, the better. These are very important people in our community. They're fine, well-trained people. Police under a lot of stress. Communities are under stress. So this is just trying to continue the connection that the police are us, and we are all part of public safety, and this is one more step to try to make that real.
Yeah, we're all in this together, and if you live here, you're part of the community. Right, so let's make sure everybody is on the right page for all of that. Now, when we talk about the other angles, what else in this report? Did anything really jump off the page and you said, wow, I didn't see that or feel that, or did you have a pretty good idea of what it was going to tell you?
Most of this report came out in interim recommendations last spring, but they're not done with the report. And actually, they're starting tomorrow. They're really encouraging the public to take a poll for us and give your reaction to how you think things are going. And so I'd encourage people to jump onto the city website, and you can find that poll for the future of policing. It's interesting, Mike, the police are so fundamental to why government exists, right? We exist to protect people and keep the law in order to keep us all safe. And yet it continues to evolve. You know, our city police department was the first in the state to bring in a social worker as part of the police department because we realized a lot of what the police do is not just about kind of enforcing criminal statutes. It's about helping people navigate conflict, helping people deal with stress, and having a social worker there can be very helpful. We created the Downtown Resource Officer Program, which was police officers who wore a different uniform, and they walked the beat, and they were downtown and helped deal with some of the stress that can come with poverty or substance use disorder and homelessness, and that's been a really important program. And there are some cities that are finding different kinds of calls, 911 calls that used to dispatch a black and white police car with sirens racing is not needed for some of the calls, and we can evolve as we do that. So it's really interesting, I think, as communities are dealing with police. Obviously, there have been histories of police with communities that have been fraught with inherent problems through history of racism and people feeling like the police are not me, they're against me. And so there's a lot of work done. And I'm really proud of the way the community deals with this and embraces it as we continue to evolve. And this community policing report, the future policing group, will help us plan and react and think about that. You may have seen articles about tasers in the paper. We do not have tasers deployed with our police department, which is unusual in the state. There are pluses and minuses with that, and I think we'll probably have a community debate about whether that should be done. And I look forward to that going forward, too.
Yeah, it's just when you start discussing those things, it's everybody has a very strong opinion, but the players involved in that game probably need to have the strongest one because they are out there protecting the rest of us, and that's a very interesting angle. We've had the same thing with the what do we call it now, the big car, the Lenco Bear, whatever.
Oh, armored rescue vehicle.
Same thing. It's one thing, and everybody, yeah. So
we've had to use that, and I think most people, they report on that use every month to the Public Safety Commission, and I think most people, if you reviewed those, you'd say, well, I'm glad that was used. It was used safely and well to help settle a situation that could have gone a lot of different ways. You know, what happened in Buffalo was so terrible and terrifying, and it could happen in any city at any time, and being able to respond to it. And, you know, let me just mention on tasers, there's kind of two main reasons you use tasers or have tasers. One is to avoid fatal shootings, to avoid using a deadly force to use a taser. We don't have the use of deadly force. It's so rare here to have that happen that that's not so much the call for that. The other main reason, I think, for tasers is to protect our police officers from physical interactions that are dangerous for all involved, where you might need to restrain somebody. And I think that's the question of, are tasers appropriate for that or not? In this city, what is the problem we're trying to solve? And I think that kind of discussion is good. I think having a table full of all kinds of people around it to talk about it helps, and the city has a good history of doing that.
Excellent. And do you have big plans for the Memorial Day weekend? Are you going racing for the 106th annual Indianapolis 500?
You know, 500? I was at qualification day. I did
very
get to
nice.
See that, and it is always a... It's a shocker to hear it and see it, the speed and the sound and the, 11,000 RPM engines going by. I
mean, 234 and change, my goodness. That's
I'm not going to the race, but I'll be cheering for a safe and exciting. It'll be fun to get the place wide open again.
You know? The engines and patrons and everything else that goes along with it. So they look like they have a good forecast. I can't help you out if you're going to Carb Day. Maybe Indy gets a better forecast than we do. Before I let you go, Taste of Bloomington, we're ready to go, right? This is happening. You're going to
happen. It's on target. That'll be a great fun outdoors evening. It's going to just give me good weather. Will you, Mike, set that up?
Yep. I will use all of my remaining powers of good to make sure we can get to that one. And then we will have to reload before the 4th of July parade, which I assume we're going to do as well.
I think we'll get you updates on that.
Yes.
We hope to.
Updates are good. I like updates. Updates are way better than no. I've learned that. I've learned that over over the years. Enjoy today. Grab your umbrella for the rest of the work week. Enjoy. Monday, Memorial Day. Any big plans for the city? I know that the internet's open 24 hours a day. I'm guessing there won't be a lot of activity at City Hall.
No, that's a holiday today, but I encourage people to, you know, there's some good memorial services and ceremonies that'll be good to see, and it's always good to remember those who helped us enjoy the country and the community that we have. So have a safe and a thoughtful Memorial Weekend.
Excellent. Short work week next week. We'll kick it off with you on Tuesday afternoon at 4:05. How does that sound?
That sounds good, Mike. You be well, and I'll talk to you next week.